Hello, everyone. Pastor Mock here. This is part two of Righteous Anger. We are going through John Downham's book, The Cure for Unjust Anger. And so I thought it helpful for us to go over the chapter on righteous anger to help us as we explore unrighteous anger next week. The definition or description of righteous anger that Downham has given us is this: anger is righteous when it is occasioned by a just cause, it is expressed in a godly way, is fixed on the proper object, it endures for the appropriate time, and it is directed toward holy ends. We looked at last time that the cause must be a just and a serious cause. God must be glorifying God, and unjust personal injury and unjust injury of others. This cause for righteous anger must be fixed on the proper object. We have a couple passages that help us with this. One is Psalm 119, 139, in which the psalmist says that zeal consumes him because people forget the words of God. We ought to be angry when people disobey and do not listen to the words of God. Jesus in Mark 3:5 is both grieved and angered because of the people's hardness of hearts when he healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. Jesus was righteously angry at this hard hardness. And that state really just promotes or tells us that the person that is hard-hearted is really not listening to God. So righteous anger, again, is Godward. It is focused on the glorification of God, and it is moved by love for God and his word and sanctifying his holy name. And we might have a righteous cause, but we have to also be careful to express that anger righteously in a godly manner. And Downham offers several examples of, or several ways that anger can be expressed righteously and still in a godly way. He says, must be done with moderation. Unbridled, excessive anger does not show self-control. Jesus was angry when he drove out everyone from the temple in John 2, and his anger was measured. It was premeditated as well. As you could get the idea that he's going home and weaving this cord, this whip. It took some time as he thought about how to go about driving everyone out. So anger that is expressed righteously is done with moderation. It's also done with humility and love. Might have a good cause for anger, but there's no love that moves you to retaliate against the sin. You might be moved by bitterness or spite, and those are improper motives for handling a sinful situation. In order to express anger in a godly way, there needs to be dignity and respect for the persons involved and for the ranks of those persons. Sometimes we are dealing with superiors and inferiors. Sometimes we're dealing with our own magistrates or the elders in a church or parents or our children. We have to take into account their position that God has given them when we consider how we might express that anger in a righteous way. And we ought to ask ourselves if we can maintain the fruit of the Spirit and express our anger righteously. So is there a contradiction between my anger and love or joy or peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you examine your anger and the expression thereof, and you see that there wasn't any of those fruits of the Spirit, you're likely to have expressed that anger unrighteously. Downham gives many examples of people who have expressed anger in a righteous way. I want to read this paragraph. We see this exemplified in the saints. Moses was a magistrate to whom the sword of justice was committed. When he was provoked to anger by the sin of the people, he not only showed his anger in countenance or with a mild admonition, but unsheathed the sword of justice and swiftly punished the offenders for their atrocious idolatry. Exodus 32:27. John the Baptist had authority to use only the sword of the Spirit. When he was offended by the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees, he expressed his anger with sharp and vehement reproofs. Matthew 3:7-12. Jacob showed his anger toward Laban, his churlish father-in-law, with mild and gentle admonitions in Genesis 31:36. Being justly incensed by the barbaric tyranny of his merciless father, Jonathan signified his anger only by rising from the table and departing. 1 Samuel 20:34. Although the three Hebrew children abhorred with godly zeal the profane idolatry of the king, they showed their displeasure in humble, respectful words. Daniel 3:16-18. And even though Paul detested the heathenism of Festus and Agrippa, he showed them due respect as fit their high callings in Acts 25. These examples show that we are to use Christian decorum and discretion if we want our anger to be approved as just and holy. So those are some biblical examples of expressing righteous anger righteously. Another aspect is that it must only endure for appropriate time. And what's appropriate time, it is subjective. And Downham says, it's possible that you could express righteous anger at length, but the longer you are angry, the more likely corruptions will set in or will affect that anger. So it's better to have a swift expression of anger that has been thought through, lest your anger degenerate. So ideally, when you are angry, you handle the matter quickly. You reconcile, you rebuke the sin, and call upon that person to ask for forgiveness, to repent. And if they do, then you, of course, grant them that forgiveness, and you are reconciled. And finally, this righteous anger must be directed toward holy ends. We talked about the end of glorifying God, seen in hating sin, executing justice, punishing sin. When you are angry, are you angry that sin is being committed, that it was committed? And are you angry at that sin? You glorify God by trying to deal rightly with that sin. And executing justice. Justice in the family and in the state as well. Capital punishment would be an expression of righteous anger if there was a real sin, real crime committed. You see justice also in excommunication in the church. It is a good thing when unrepentant offenders are disciplined, and if they continue in that state of unrepentance or contumacy, that they are excommunicated. We see that in 1 Corinthians 5 with that man who had his stepmom, and the Corinthians were not ashamed at all that was going on. You see Old Testament examples of justice being done as well. One holy end is the public good of church or nation. Phinehas was a righteous man, and he expressed his righteous anger well when he impaled Zimri and Cosby in Numbers 25 when they were lying in each other's arms in the presence of the people of God. They were very flagrantly showing their sin and their rebellion against God. Same thing with Achan in Joshua 7 when he took the spoils of war. He was righteously stoned, he and all of his possessions. Other holy ends are the private benefit of those who suffer. When we seek the good of the one who suffered that injury, that's a demonstration of righteous anger. We want to help the person who suffered. And when we offer a private benefit for those who injure as well, those are both righteous expressions of anger. We want to deter further sin, and we want to promote reformation in the offender. Think of a parent who sees one child hitting another of his siblings, and the parent, righteously angry, seeing that this was a sin, a child shouldn't be hitting his brother or sister. So she, the mom or the dad, swiftly punishes that child. She deters that offender from continuing to commit that sin and hurting his sibling, telling him that it's wrong and calling him to repentance, seeking that person's moral transformation, reformation. And then also that provides a good for the one who was hurt. So these are the other parts to a righteous anger. Ask yourself, again, in the heat of the anger or after, upon reflection, ask, am I or did I glorify God by truly hating sin and seeking to promote justice and punish sin? Am I as angry promoting the good of my church or the good of the persons involved, the sufferer, the injurer? Ask, is my anger short-lived, or is it long and drawn out, and has it entered into the realm of a settled anger of bitterness? And ask, is this anger expressed in a way that's harmonious with the fruit of the Spirit, love and humility and dignity and respect? So these are all some questions that we should be asking ourselves when we are angry and when we reflect on our anger. Next time we will consider, for the rest of the time, we'll be considering unrighteous anger, its causes and its effects, and how we can move forward in the grace of God and by the power of the Spirit to renew this passion.